very good to be together on this winter's evening. It's been a few years. I still haven't figured out Guernsey weather because this morning the wind was blowing, but it was warm. The rest of the week gone by was freezing, and now it's a little bit chilly again. Anyway, it's wonderful to be together in this place, as it always is. And thank you to those who have led us this far. This evening, we're in the second of just 2 weeks looking at the letter of Philemon. We've had some conversation about how it should be pronounced, I think that's certainly how we would pronounce it in South Africa. I think Philemon is the American translation. We're probably familiar with that because we would hear it on sermons and things. But the letter of Philemon was written by Paul in about 61 AD and delivered from prison, as we looked at last week, together with another letter to the whole Colossian church, and that's the letter that we have in the New Testament. We saw last week that Philemon was a wealthy Roman citizen from Colossae, and Onesimus was a slave who had wronged him in some way and then run away. It's likely that Philemon had come to Christ through Paul's ministry in Ephesus, and Onesimus ended up coming to Christ through Paul's ministry too, but it seems in very different circumstances, and that being in prison rather than in Ephesus. As we considered this morning how wonderful it is that God can use the difficult circumstances of our lives for his glory. And I think it's very evident from the scriptures that God used Paul, whether he was imprisoned or free, and used him powerfully. And so again, a reminder that God can use whatever we're going through for his glory if we're open to being used by God. Last week, we considered the story of Philemon and Onesimus from the perspective of Philemon, the one in needing, needed to forgive. So Philemon, of course, needed to forgive Onesimus. And this week, we're going to have a look at the letter from the perspective of Onesimus. Now, Paul asked Philemon, just as a brief reminder, to do an extraordinary thing by way of welcoming back a formerly disgraced slave, no longer as a slave, but as a brother. And we looked at how that would have been an extraordinary thing to do. God calls us all to do extraordinary things, but in the light of the ultra-extraordinary events of the cross, we should gladly respond. And so this week we look at the letter from the perspective of Onesimus, who needed to be forgiven. He needed to engage and to be engaged in the following three ways: reconnection, recognition, and reception. And just by chance, all three of those words start with REC, which is the record logo. So you press the record button and then you remember, it's kind of recorded in some way. So hopefully that'll help us remember. Reconnection, recognition, and reception. Those are just the three headings that we're going to use this evening. So recognition to start with. The first thing Onesimus needed to do was to face Philemon, as well as the community in Colossae that he'd abandoned. And we know that there was indeed a community that needed to be faced. In fact, the letter that Paul wrote to Philemon, if we look at the second part of verse 1 and verse 2, says, "To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus." Yes, this was directed to Philemon first and foremost, but there were others that had been impacted by Onesimus' disappearance, and there were others that he would need to face as he returned to Colossae. And by the way, we might ask if Onesimus accompanied the letter that was taken to Philemon, or whether he perhaps held back and waited to hear how Philemon had responded It might have seemed like a wise thing to do. You know, if there was a favorable report, then he would have followed the letter. But if there wasn't, maybe he would have found an alternative life direction. But actually, the Bible does tell us that Philemon that Onesimus went to Philemon with the letter. And that's found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, which speaks about Tychicus, who took the letter to the Colossians, as well as this letter to Philemon. And it says, "I've sent him," being Tychicus, "to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him, Onesimus." So, with Tychicus went Onesimus, "our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you," re-emphasizing what's written in the letter to Philemon to the whole church again. "They will tell you everything that has taken place here." And so it's a wonderful crossover, and we see, I think that makes it very clear that Onesimus did go to Colossae with Tychicus with both letters. Now, often when we've wronged someone, the easiest thing for us to do is simply to avoid them. Yet, just as Onesimus needed to return and reconnect, this is the first and often the most difficult aspect of reconciling with somebody else. And it's the first step that needs to be taken toward being forgiven. So, I wonder if we can make this personal for a moment. Are there folk in our lives who we perhaps were once close to, but due to an offense, we've become estranged? If so, is the Lord asking us to reconnect with them? And yes, it's a difficult thing to do. But if the Lord is asking us to do something, we should indeed act on it. Are there folk that we deliberately don't speak to, or with whom in our hearts we know we need to make right? As we read passages like this and the letter to Philemon, I think it's right for us to ask these kinds of questions. How can we apply this ourselves if we need to do so? Onesimus needed to make the journey home, and even though I'm sure that he was somewhat afraid to do so, he needed to reconnect with Philemon. Secondly, there needed to be a recognition of the wrongdoing that had taken place. Wrongdoings should be followed by a recognition of fault and a conversation about it, not in order to embarrass anybody or for anyone to be shamed in the scenario, but in order for trust to be rebuilt through establishing genuine understanding and forgiveness. And that takes conversation. That takes humility and working through things, which again, we often just want to avoid, but it's worthwhile. In the case of Onesimus, he had the help of Paul's letter, of course, in communicating with Philemon, and I'm sure that really helped. And think of some of the words that were written by Paul. This is verse 18. "If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account." It's almost as though Paul was right there with Onesimus as Philemon received this letter. As we go through the whole letter, I think it would have been difficult for Philemon not to have been persuaded by Paul's letter. But if we've wronged someone and don't have a letter from Paul in our back pockets, what do we do? What if we don't consider ourselves to be good communicators? Well, then recognizing and confessing our wrongdoing is difficult, but still important if we hope to have restored relationships with the ones that we have wronged. And even if we don't have a personalized letter from Paul, we have Christ who strengthens us in such circumstances, and the Bible to give us wisdom. Take Colossians 3, verse 12 to 15, for example. It says, "Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. There's so much advice and wisdom in that passage when it comes to dealing with difficult situations within the church body. We can only imagine that Philemon humbly embraced Onesimus as a brother, as Paul had encouraged him to do. And this kind of reception, which is our third heading, really needs to be the end goal between Christians who have wronged each other. In Philemon verse 17, Paul writes, "So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me." And I do think it's clear that Onesimus was received by Philemon, although we're not told explicitly. But I think that it's clear, because otherwise I believe that Philemon would have destroyed the letter that we have with us today. I don't think if he had refused Paul's request that this letter would have been preserved. But secondly, according to the characteristic of the man described by Paul in verses 4 to 6, I think it would be in Philemon's new nature to forgive. And as a reminder, some of the things Paul says is, "I hear of your love and of your faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." Again, if that's the kind of man that Philemon was, I'm sure that he would have been willing to forgive. As we draw to a close, there's an element of being forgiven that I don't want to leave unaddressed. Of course, Onesimus needed to be forgiven, and yet we're not sure if Onesimus regretted what he had done, because we don't even really know what that is. We don't know how he had wronged Philemon, but we can imagine that he was humble-hearted and that he had worked through these issues with Paul in one way or another. And so I think it's safe for us to assume that he regretted what he had done and really wanted to ask genuine forgiveness and reconcile with Philemon. But there's an element of being forgiven that, as I said, I don't want to leave unaddressed, and that's to do with the concept of self-forgiveness. I've often heard it said that some folk find it easy to forgive others, but very difficult to forgive themselves. If you've ever said that, my challenge to you is that it is impossible to forgive yourself. It's not difficult, it's impossible. Because it is impossible to pay the debt of the sin that we owe. All sin negatively impacts us, so anytime we sin, we are sinning against ourselves. But though we have a sinful nature and a spirit, it is not as if we're two different people with one in the position of forgiving the other. So I don't think that we can forgive ourselves because we're not two people. I don't think we've been given the authority by God to do so. It is impossible to forgive ourselves, but that which is impossible for us to do is never impossible for God to do. Instead of us trying to figure out how to forgive ourselves for the wrongs that we've done, we need to have a mind shift and focus on receiving forgiveness, the forgiveness that is offered to us by Christ. Do you see the difference between the act of forgiving ourselves, if it were possible to do, and the act of receiving forgiveness from the Lord? Both, I think, involve regretting our wrongdoing, But one is an attempt to fix the related awkwardness by using our own strength, while the other is an act of humbly accepting that Christ has paid the price that we cannot pay. In receiving forgiveness, we find striving is replaced by a deep peace within and a sense of rest that we will never know if we keep trying to forgive ourselves. The lyrics of a song we'll be singing shortly say, "Lord, forgive us for our shame when we can't release the past. When we're quick to take the blame but forget we're free at last." We do need to receive forgiveness, but again, receiving forgiveness is not the same thing as forgiving ourselves. And I think that differentiating between the two is helpful and freeing. It's good for us to recognize that we don't deserve forgiveness. And some people do that, which means that they find it hard to forgive themselves, as they would put it. But it's actually a good thing for us to recognize that we don't deserve forgiveness. But that doesn't mean that we need to work out how to forgive ourselves. It means that we need to let go of our shame, which is actually a form of pride, by the way. And then with arms that are finally ready to receive, we need to receive the gift of forgiveness. It's not something that we can earn or figure out how to get for ourselves. Forgiven through the blood of Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.